All right, let's make Justin welcome as he comes tonight.
I got it. Might as well take my top off this thing. I'm going to need it. They give me 2 hours again tonight. So set your alarm for 9 o'clock, and we'll do our best to get out of here by then. I'm serious. Oh, y'all thought I was playing. All right. I missed you guys last week. I really did. I was over in Grow 2, and I told them, I said, I'll be honest with you, I'm glad I'm here, but I missed my Grow 1, because what did I tell y'all first week what we was going to do? I meant it. I'm going to bring that up every time. We're going to be family. All right? When we leave here, you may not like it, but we're going to be family. Matter of fact, we already are, because y'all give me permission to pour into you. And so when you give me permission to invest in your life, you didn't know it, but you're signing up to be part of the Justin Lindsay family. Most of all, you signed up to be part of the family of God, and that's exciting. And tonight we're talking about probably one of my most favorite subjects in the Bible. We're going to talk about some jet fuel tonight. Does anybody in here like fast things? Two people, and they're women. Come on, guys. You mean to tell me there ain't none of y'all in here like fast cars? Huh? Fast boats? You know, I mean, surely. Here we go. Okay. Some of y'all, I know, you know, watch fast athletes on. Because, B, I know you're a football fan. You like to watch fast boys run up down the field. Y'all, we like fast things. We live in a society where we don't want nothing that takes a long time. That's the reason they invented microwaves. Because we don't want to wait on nothing. We're going to talk about something that empowers and speeds up things, but not in the form of a microwave. We're going to talk about something that powers and speeds up spiritual growth and spirituality. We're talking about the Holy Spirit tonight. One of my most favorite topics in the Bible, one of the most favorite men, the idea that we study, not an idea, but persons in the Bible, because of what it does for us, because of what it offers us. It offers us jet fuel, okay? It's the key ingredients in spiritual growth. Is anybody in here tonight that does not want to grow spiritually? Okay, well then every one of y'all need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, we need the Holy Spirit right here, right now, with us tonight for some very specific reasons, because he meets each one of us individually where we are. He knows the condition of our heart. He knows where we are in life. He knows where we are in our walk. Okay, and he meets you exactly where you are, and he knows exactly what you need, and he wants to come along beside you. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture, and he wants to walk this journey with you. Well, he wants to walk this next 2.5-hour teaching with you tonight. Some of y'all didn't catch that. Come on now. Hey, I know it's Wednesday and it's raining, but hey, we ain't that dead tonight. Come on. Work wasn't that bad, I promise. Work wasn't that bad. I want to open this up with some good foundation. There's a scripture that I'm fixing to go through, and this is what I'm going to call an interactive scripture, because this scripture right here sets the foundation and the bringing up and the entering in into the Holy Spirit, into what I would say our lives. The Holy Spirit's been in the Bible from the beginning. It says we created in our image, okay? It says the Spirit of God hovered over the earth. He's been there from the beginning, and he's all the way to the end, and he's eternal. And we're going to talk about that. But there was a very specific time in the Bible that when he come in and to empower us. Okay? That's exciting. All right, so number one thing I want to establish right now is, if anybody in here has ever been told that the Holy Spirit is not alive and well and residing and existing and powerful in your life, in the Christian life today, that's false. The Holy Spirit is alive and well, and he is real, okay? And the next thing, as much as I want to talk about who the Holy Spirit is, then we're going to talk about what the Holy Spirit does in our life, but I think it's important that we know who the Holy Spirit isn't. He is not this spooky ghost that's fake and weird and all of this kind of stuff. He's not that. Pastor Stephen told me a story when he was a little kid. He was riding in the back of one of them old school, you know, Dodge Caravan minivans that's got the paneling on the side or whatever. And they were going on a trip, and he got into their suitcases and got a sheet out, and he jumped, this Pastor Stephen, y'all can tell him I told y'all this. He may not want you, I know it, I don't care. But he jumped up in the back of the car when he was a little kid, and he looked at his dad, and he says, "Boo, I'm the Holy Ghost," wearing a sheet. Believe it or not, a lot of people perceive the Holy Spirit like that. Well, that's not who he is. And so if any lie that you've ever been told that the Holy Spirit is spooky or weird or fake, I just ask that you give me tonight and lay that thought process aside and open your hearts and open your mind to the truth of what the Word of God says. This isn't Justin's truth. This is the truth of the Word of God. Can we do that tonight? All right, so let's look at this scriptures, John 16 and 7. Let's unpack this, okay? And the reason it's interactive is because I'm supposed to ask you some questions. So John 16 and 7, it starts with nevertheless, okay? So this is Jesus talking to the disciples, okay? And he's talking to the disciples in a very particular time. What's fixing to happen in Jesus' life when he's talking to the disciples in this scripture? Say that again, Amber. Exactly, he's fixing to be crucified. Okay, this event's fixing to take. And what does a crucifixion do? It kills Jesus, right? All right. So why is it so significant that Jesus is telling the disciples about what's to come? Say that in that microphone.
They think they're going to be alone.
Man, you are reading your Bible, Alfredo. Come on, son. Hey, they've been walking with Jesus. All they got to do is this. Hey, Jesus, what do you think about that? Hey, Jesus, heal that dude. Hey, Jesus, walk across that water over and give me some bread and fish. It's that easy. I mean, they're with Jesus physically. So they have Jesus. Imagine if you're a disciple and you're walking this journey with Jesus and all of a sudden, poof, he's gone. You'd freak out. What am I doing? Jesus was so intelligent and so smart, and he knew. He said, you know what? I ain't going to say it. I need to prepare them for what's coming, because when I go, they can't do what I'm calling them to do without my presence. So I need to prepare my disciples to do what I'm calling them to do. Look at this scripture real quick. It says, nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. Don't you think that's funny that Jesus has to tell them, listen, I'm telling you the truth? I mean, it's Jesus. He wasn't a very good liar, okay? And I think that's funny. He's like, look, guys, I'm telling you the truth. And you can see Peter and him going, really, God? Really? And he's like, yeah, dude, I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth. He's having to emphasize what he's about to say, because what he's about to say to the disciples is like, I can imagine them going, what? What do you mean? What are you talking about? You're joking with us, Jesus. And he's emphasizing the truth. He's saying, listen, guys, you need to hear what I'm saying, because this is important. And he says, I am telling you the truth. He says, it is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Counselor or the Holy Spirit will not come to you. He says, if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is telling the disciples, he's saying, look, you will not understand what's fixing to happen right now. You can't, because what's fixing to happen is for me, the Holy Spirit, and God to know. You will not comprehend what's fixing to happen. You can't comprehend the fact that your Savior is fixing to have his body destroyed and killed. And I am God. How can they kill God? Oh my! There's no way you can comprehend what's coming. So he is preparing them for what's to come. I think God is preparing y'all, some of y'all in here tonight, if not all, for what's to. We okay back there? Okay, for what's to come. Because Paul said something a while ago. He said if He's real adamant about y'all buying into this process and staying the path. Listen, seeds have been planted in this class, and Jesus has something so powerful for each and every one of y'all through this. And I know what we have tonight is for y'all to know that is Jesus, because he has something for you, he needs to prepare us, and he needs to show you the way. He needs to show you how we're going to do this. Because if I would have stepped onto this journey that I'm on by myself, there's no way I could have succeeded. If I wouldn't have known who I had in my corner and who I had to my left and to my right and who I had driving this ship, there's no possible way that I'd have been successful. There's no possible way the disciples would have been successful without the presence of the Holy Spirit. So who is he? Who is the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because last week, what did y'all talk about? What is the Trinity? All right, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on here. Number one, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He is the third member of the Trinity. Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to show y'all something about Scripture that's really cool. I want you to look at Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all on the same line. They're linear. You want to know why? Because they're the same. Look at Father, it's capitalized. Jesus, capitalized. Holy Spirit, capitalized. That denotes a proper noun. What does a proper noun do? Come on now. Exactly. It signifies importance. If you study proper nouns, it signifies and it singles out an identity. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, three in one. That's powerful. That the Bible was written in so brilliantly that he even capitalized Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because go through the Bible where it says little g versus big G, and you see God and it's a little g, that's those gods that aren't gods. That's the gods that are not real. But when you look and it says big G in the Bible and it's talking about God, it's talking about God. Because there's only one. There's only one. So there's your Bible lesson right there. Pretty neat, huh? All right. Number two. I love this. He's a person. It says he has emotion. This is encouraging to me. I'm an emotional guy. Y'all know I'm an emotional guy. I cry, yell, scream, holler, laugh, all in the same voice most of the time. I'm very emotional in the sense that I love people. I have emotions. I'm not scared to show my emotions. I don't care if people make fun of me for crying. I cry all the time. Okay? But the fact that the Holy Spirit is emotional, that speaks volumes to me because it tells me my God is a God of emotions. That he's not this God of wrath and God of anger, that he has feelings and that he has a heart and he has a heart for his children and he is emotional. Ephesians 4:30. Look at this, guys. This is awesome. It says, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. The word sorrow means deep distress or sadness or regret. How can we bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit by how we live? Exactly. But by not following a will and a life aligned with God, it brings sorrow to him. Why do you think it brings sorrow to the Holy Spirit? Why do you think a life, a misaligned life with Christ, a life that's not pleasing to Christ that we live, why would you think it would bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit? It grieves him. What else? He's a teacher. What else? Y'all get your minds going. Why would the Holy Spirit be sorrowful when he saw us living a life out of a line of Jesus? There's something else. Get you. Say that again. That's it. When we walk in disobedience and we bring sorrow, the reason the Holy Spirit is, why are you sorrowful when your kids, when they don't follow what you tell them to do? Because you know the destruction that it brings, right? Because you love your children. That's why it brings sorrow, and that's why you get sad and there's sorrow and regret by the decision our children make that pull them away from the rightful ruling and guidance that you have given them over the years. It breaks our heart because you do not want to see your kids go through that, right? Well, that's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. Well, we're God's children, and he says, oh, man, if I could just get back. The reason I want you back over here, Justin, is because the life aligned with Christ of where it leads, and if you stay on this path, it leads to destruction, and that breaks my heart because I love you, and I do not want to see you go through that pain. That's why it's so important. Is that not awesome that the Holy Spirit has emotions? And the fact of the matter is that the way we live our life can determine joy or sorrow in his life. What does that do for us? Puts responsibility on us. It puts a responsibility. You know, I've studied the Holy Spirit a whole bunch. Until I read that, I was like, man, that brings a whole new level of responsibility of how I treat my wife, how I raise my kids, how I interact with people, how I talk to people, how I talk about people, what I allow people to talk to me about people, because all of those things misalign me. And the idea of bringing sorrow to the one that created and saved me, that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart. I told you I was going to need this. There's a lot of air coming out of these lungs. So he is a person. He has emotions. The next one is he is in relationship with us as well as the Father and the Son. This is cool. He is in relationship with us as well as the Father and the Son. Number one, he's in relationship. It shows closeness, okay? Trey Jones is a good friend of mine. The reason why he's a good friend of mine is because me and Trey spend a lot of time together. There's a closeness with us. When I see Trey, I recognize him as a friend. Okay, Trey can walk in out of my house and doesn't have to knock. We're close friends. There's a closeness because we have a relationship, and relationship comes from spending time with each other. I have a deeper relationship with my wife and kids because of the time that I have spent with my family. So if he is in relationship with us, what does that mean? If my relationship with my wife is based off of me spending time with her and the Holy Spirit's in relationship with us, what does that mean? It means he's with us. It means he's with us through everything. Relationship comes through good times, bad times, hard times, tough times. That's when strong relationships are built. So the Holy Spirit is with us in good and in bad. But here's the double-fold part of this that's so awesome is it goes on and says, as well as the Father and the Son. So that means he's with the Father and the Son. So not only does he have relationship with us, he has relationship with the Father and the Son. And where I'm going to show you why that's so important, because he's our intercessor. And the fact is he has relationship with Jesus and God, and he has relationship with God's children. What does that create? Cohesion. He's the thing that weaves us together. He's the thing that brings the relationship and the presence of God and Jesus Christ into our life. He's the thing that draws us near to God because he's in relationship with us. The fact that he's in relationship with us and the Father and the Son makes me rest my head a whole lot easier because I know we're joined. We're joined to the Creator. We're joined to the one that spilled his blood on the cross, a cross that we could not bear. And we are tied together by the Holy Spirit. Whew! Does that not excite y'all? I mean, that we got the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, binding us to the Creator. That's a bond that cannot be broken. That means that scripture that no man can pluck me from God's hand is true. That you can't get me away from God because of the relationship the Holy Spirit has with me and the Father and the Son. Hey, that gives me some pretty good insurance right there. That means that, you know what? I know I'm not perfect by no means, and I know I don't have to be perfect. And I know that there's a multitude of grace over my life because of the presence of Jesus Christ, and the relationship I have with him through the Holy Spirit. And number three, he is eternal and he is holy. We know that. He's eternal and holy. He was in the beginning. He's going to be there in the end. And he's holy. He's set apart. He's perfection. What I want to spend the rest of the night on is what he does in my life. Here comes the jet fuel. Because if you get this down inside of you, a couple things going to happen. Number one is you're going to be empowered. You're going to receive some vision you haven't seen, some clarity you haven't received, right? And you're going to become even a stronger tool against the gates of hell. Because when you realize just how potent and powerful you are and with the Holy Spirit pushing you, it's going to make you want to dig your feet in a little deeper. It's going to make you want to get just a little bit more traction, because it's going to make you pick your shoulders up just a little bit and say, you know what, I can do this. I can overcome this. I can walk through this pain, okay? I can enjoy this joyous occasion. I can dig through this heartache or whatever we're dealing with, not because of what I am, but because of who's in me and what he is. Amen. All right, this right here, I'm going to call this handlebars of hope. All right, I'm fixing to give you something to hang on to. Because if you ever get to where you hang on to the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, you got something to hang on to that will not let you go. Okay? So if you need something to hang on to in your life right now, all right? If you feel like you're drowning, if you feel like you can't get your head above water, and you feel like the world is collapsing around you, I'm fixing to give you these handlebars of hope that'll drag you out of your circumstance if you'll let it. Does anybody want that in here tonight? Amen. Come on. All right. Look here. So what does he do in my life? Number one, he comes into my heart the moment I invite him to do so. Hey, this salvation, if anybody in here tonight underneath the sound of my voice does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, come see me after class, okay? Because there's an instantaneous thing that happens, all right? We talk about freedom. Freedom's a process. Salvation's instant. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and sets and takes resident and ownership and kingship of our heart. And we get marked with a seal. Look here. Ephesians 1 and 13, he says, having believed, that's all you got to do. That's what's so powerful about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, is all you have to do is believe. That's it. You don't have to add to it. You can't take away it. All you have to do is believe. Just believe. And look what happens when we believe in Jesus Christ. This is eternal stuff right here we're talking about. This changes the course of everybody's life. This right here is why it's so important for us to get the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, not just for us, but what we're going to do for other people. I'm going to show you where he empowers us to do God's work. That's what we're all called to do. Because if we're not all called to go out and do God's work, what are we doing here? All right. It says, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You're sealed, Jack. You are sealed. My family's are marked. When you see them three beautiful little girls running around this church, you know that's them Lindsay kids right there. Y'all know them Lindsay kids. Or when you see Pastor Jeremy's kids, you know that's the Yanceys or whoever it is. All right? When you see someone and you know they're part of a family, that person is marked. And it does not matter what my kids do. They're always marked as my children because they belong to me. When we receive Jesus Christ, we are marked by the Holy Spirit and sealed. We are sealed in the hand of Jesus Christ. I told y'all we was going to become family. We're all sealed to the same Creator, to the same Savior, and to the same Holy Spirit. We are sealed in the family of God. You can't take me away from God because I'm sealed by something that's unbreakable. Sealed up. Number two, it teaches and reminds us of what we need to remember. John 14 and 26, look at this. It says, but the helper, he helps us. Thank God he helps us, because I can assure you, what God's calling me to do, if I was doing this on Justin's accord, it would be an utter failure. I promise. Because I've seen me in action on my own. It's scary. He's my helper. I know without a shadow of a doubt in my mind that I've got the presence of God with me right now. He's helping me do what God's calling me to do tonight. And he's also helping you hear and understand what he wants to speak to you individually tonight. So don't think there's this helper up here beside me. That helper's with each and every one of you right now. It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, listen, he will teach you in all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. This offers up two things. Number one, it offers up these promises and hopes, okay? God gave me a promise to my kids that my kids would serve the Lord and love the Lord. I don't have to worry about them. You know what? My kids have received salvation. They are marked and sealed. That's a promise that only God can make to me, okay? And the Holy Spirit reminds me of that when my kids act a little cray-cray sometimes. When my kids say stuff sometimes and I'm thinking, "What? Where did you hear that from? I heard it from you, Daddy." I mean, some of y'all get that letter. But God says, "Oh, hang on. I promise them to you, Justin. They're mine. Take that worry off that mantle. Quit worrying about them kids so much. I told you they're mine. I got them. I got a plan for your children." And he also reminds me of hopes. Does anybody in here have a hope in their life right now? There ain't nobody in here open for nothing. Come on, we got to be active in this class. All right? I'm going to move this pulpit right in the middle. I tell you what, I've got a lot of hopes in my life. And you know what those hopes equate to in Jesus when they line up with his will promises? Because if I hope for God's will in my life, I can write that down as a promise. And the Holy Spirit has to remind me on a daily basis, Justin, hey, what God's speaking to you, what we promised you, that hope that you have, it's coming. Hang on. You cling to them handlebars you preach about. Hang on to them, son. He says, you're in the process. It's coming. Cling to that hope. It's a reminder. God's told me these things for years. It was a reminder to my dad. I remember when I was 18 years old and I come home and my key didn't work in my house no more. And I told my dad, I called him. I said, "Hey, something's wrong with these locks." He said, "No, son, something's wrong with your key." He said, "You don't live here no more." And I said, "What do you mean?" He says, I can't live like this no more with you. He says, "I love you." And he says, "But I've got to turn you over to God." He said, "It was the hardest thing you ever did. It was the best thing you ever did." Came me out of my house and he told me, and this when I was 18, he said, "Go be a man." I've never been home since, but went through some of the toughest times. But my dad told me, he said, "I know God's got you." Holy Spirit had to remind my dad a whole bunch. "I got him, Jim Bob. I got him. He's sealed and he's marked. I got him." That's a hope and a promise that only the Holy Spirit can offer. And he reminds us of what we need to be remembered, of what we need to remember. I need to remember. I mean, is there any of y'all in here that sometimes need to remember that God's got you back? Come on now. I know I do, because I know what this world looks like walking on my own 2 feet, and it's terrible. Okay? But it says he also teaches us. See, I'm not the smartest person in the world. All right? The decisions that I've made on my own brilliance of court have led me in some really, really bad places. But when I begin to allow the Holy Spirit to teach me into my mind, and once I got it in my mind and I got it in my heart, it began to change my life. Well, how do we know when the Holy Spirit, how does the Holy Spirit teach us? Through what? Through the Word. It's a living, breathing, it's God's Word breathed. Everything that we need to know, if you quit reading the Bible like a book and read it like an instruction manual, it'll change your life. Because I can't read books. I hate reading. Ask my wife. This is what happens when I read. No joke. This is what happens when I'm reading. But when I study, transformation happens. Big difference. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he reveals things in Scripture that I've never seen before. The same Scripture over and over and over and over and over. And he reveals different things to me when God needs me to see different things. He's teaching me his Word. He's teaching me how to be a parent, how to be a better husband. He's teaching me how to be a better teacher, a better steward of my money, a better steward of my time, a better manager at work. He's teaching me how to be a better friend. He's teaching me how to be a better servant to the King. And he's doing it through his Word. And not only his Word, but he does it through people that pour into me. This class is one of the tools that the Holy Spirit uses to teach you. Grow 2, grow 3, encounter, Sunday mornings, groups, small groups, whatever it may be, mentorships. Those are tools that the Holy Spirit uses to teach us the things that we need to know. Luke 12 and 12 says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. I can tell you what, if you feel called to preach and teach the word, you better cling to that. Because you need the Holy Spirit to well up on your lips and in your heart and in your mind to speak what God has to be spoken. Because if you speak it on your own accord, it'll get you in trouble. Number three, we talked about this a while ago. He prays and intercedes for us. What does the word intercede mean? Do what? What does the word intercede mean? To bridge the gap, to stand in the gap. It really means to intervene two parties. To stand in the gap between two parties. That kind of goes back to that relationship between us, God, and Jesus, right? You see how everything supports itself? Scripture says, 8 and 27, it says, and he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people according. Now here, the end of this scripture is very important. According to the will of God. One of the biggest problems we get into is we're like, shoot, that Holy Spirit ain't talking to me. He ain't letting me do what I want to do. Exactly. He intercedes on our behalf for God's will, because he knows its perfection. He knows God's will for our life won't lead us down roads of destruction. He intercedes for us. He intercedes for us on the behalf of us to God to implement God's will in our life. Whether you want to verbalize it or not, every one of you in here tonight desire God's will. Because God created a specific will for you when he created you. And the Creator knows what's best for you way than you know what's best for you. So I want my comforter, I want my teacher, I want the one who reminds me of these things to remind me of the things of, Justin, this is God's will for your life. Because if I get to chasing something besides God's will, there's only other one thing I'm chasing, and that's the will of the enemy. And we all know where the will of the enemy leads us. And number four, he's our comforter, our encourager, our strength and advisor. He guides us in the way we should go. Look what 2 Corinthians 1 and 4 says. It says he comforts us in all our troubles. It doesn't say he comforts us when it's easy. The Holy Spirit is with you 24/7, 365, no matter what you're in the midst of. He's with us in all troubles. And he says, and we will be able to give them the same comfort. And it says, and when they are troubled, it says, we will be able to give the same comfort God has given us. So he is our comforter. He is what encourages us. All right, when we're in those dark times and we're in that, and we're on our knees crying out to God and we receive that little boost of encouragement to get up and keep fighting. Some of y'all in here are in some circumstances right now. When you had to wake up this morning, what'd you have to make a decision to do? Keep fighting. That's the Holy Spirit encouraging you, says, keep fighting, keep digging, keep pushing. And he's the one who gives us strength, and he is our advisor. I told you that's jet fuel. I love lifting weights. All right? I know it really doesn't look like it, but if you'd have seen me a year and a half ago, you'd be like, that boy does lift a lot of weights. I love lifting weights. I like being strong. I'm not worried about being fast. Listen, I'm going to give y'all a rule of thumb. If I run out of this room, y'all don't ask no questions, you drop your pens, and you follow behind me because they something real bad on me. I'm not a runner. But I like to be strong. I like strength. I love lifting weights. All right? But this strength is a strength that doesn't fade, because the strength that I have, it's going to fade probably in the next year or so. But that's okay. But the strength this talking about is strength here and here. It's a strength that'll get you through every single day. It's a strength that picks you up and says, go. It's the strength that gives us, that wakes some of us up and gives us just enough strength to stick our feet in the ground and say, I can make it one more day. One more day. And we have to do it over and over. But that strength and that encouragement comes from the Holy Spirit. But look what he does when he does this. He guides us in the way we should go. All of this points back to God's will for our life. If you're running out of strength, if you're running out of encouragement, you may want to look at the path you're on. Because if your path isn't a path of righteousness that leads to like-minded of Jesus Christ, you're on the wrong path. If your path doesn't add up to an aligned life with what Jesus Christ's word says, you may be on the wrong path. And the Holy Spirit, he'll be with you. But he is not going to strengthen you to go down the wrong path. He'll weaken you, though, to get you back where you need to be. And a lot of times, our weakness is our strength. A lot of times we have to be made weaker so that we can be made stronger. Because if we were strong in all that we did in our mind, we'd be well over here in left field. How many of us have missed the mark in our life? All of us. You know how many marks I've missed? It's discouraging sometimes to go back and think, say, God, if I'd have just done that a different way, the right way, if I'd have just done that your way, where would I be today? We've all missed the mark. We've all missed the mark. And the reason why we've missed the mark is because somewhere along this path, either we didn't know Jesus Christ, or if we did know him, we refused to listen to the Holy Spirit. We basically said, you stay over there, I got this. And he says, I'm with you. Let's go. Let's go down this road of destruction. If that's what it takes, that's what it takes to get you back where you belong. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. We've all missed the mark. Imagine if we had to try to make the mark every day on our own without the Holy Spirit. That's a scary world. It's scary enough as it is, but that's a truly scary environment for us to think that we don't need the Holy Spirit to guide us in the right way. Because if we'll get on board with the right way through obedience, through living a righteous, and I'm not trying to tell you to be perfect, because there's nobody in here that's perfect. We're never going to get it right. If we were getting it right every day, we'd be Jesus. We wouldn't need him. But God says, you need me so much, I'm going to put me inside of you. My spirit's going to live within you, and I'm going to guide you in the direction you need to go. You may fight me on it, you may kick and scream. My kids fight and kick and scream all the time, but I'm going to keep them on the path the best way I can to live in a good life for Jesus Christ, because I know the destruction to the left and to the right, and Holy Spirit's saying the same thing. Yeah, I know the destruction to the left. I know the destruction to the right. If you'll stay in my hip pocket or let me stay in yours and guide you on this in the way that you should go, this path is a lot easier and it's a lot more rewarding. That ought to give some of you some hope in here tonight, because listen, here's the second part of that. It doesn't matter where you're at tonight. You can start that journey of getting closer to God right now. The Holy Spirit will take you by the hand. He will comfort you. He will encourage you. He will strengthen you, and he will walk you. You don't have to run back to the right. All you got to do is, it's called repentance. It's turning 180. You turn 180 and Jesus is right where you left him. So if some of you in here tonight are struggling with some things in your life and you can't figure out why, it may be time to do some soul searching, because it says that the Spirit searches our heart out. But it might be time for you to search your heart out and say, the life I'm living, does it truly line up with God? Is it truly pleasing to the Father? Because you're not hiding nothing from him. You can't hide nothing from the Holy Spirit. He knows all. I think some of us in here, myself included, might need to do some heart searching, some soul searching, and pitch the reins back over to the one who knows us. Huh? I could stay there all day. I got to go. I done lost my place now. Whew. Number five, he gives us power to be witnesses. He gives us power to be witnesses. He doesn't just empower us at salvation. We're empowered completely. When we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes upon us at salvation, that's all the Holy Spirit we need. You don't have to add to his strength. You don't have to add to his ability. He's that complete. But he empowers us to be witnesses. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, this is Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Each one of y'all are called to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and witness to people. How many people's in this class tonight? How many do we know? Have an idea? How many people in here tonight? 99. Let's round for 100. I'm 2. I'll talk to 2 people tomorrow. Imagine this. Imagine if every one of y'all tomorrow went to work and told one person about Jesus. One person. That's 100 people that would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ tomorrow. All you got to do is tell one. That's it. He empowers us to do that. That's our calling. It's called the Great Commission. We won't go into that, but that's our calling. He's here not just to comfort us and make us feel better and tell us which way to go to the left. He is here so that we may comfort others and that we may use our story and our platform to teach others and to tell others, listen, just a teacher of the word doesn't mean you have to stand in this pulpit. A teacher of the word that says, let me tell you what Jesus Christ has done in my life. That's it. The Holy Spirit does rest. But he needs a willing vessel to say, just let me tell you what God's doing in my life. Even if you do reject me. It may be the guy at the gas station. It may be a waiter or waitress that you just say, hey, we're fixing to pray over our meal. Can we pray for something for you? It's transformative. It's transformative. That is our calling. That is one of the tools and the things, the callings that the Holy Spirit does is he empowers us to witness the name of Jesus. And each and every one of y'all have a unique story in here. It's sharing a little bit about your story to a coworker or just an encouraging word. It's that easy. It's that simple. But the results are eternal. Come on, somebody. You know who you got somebody, most of you got somebody on your mind right now that says, you know what, I could share that with them. That's not me prompting you, that's the Holy Spirit. Don't ignore him. Number 7, he equips us with the strength we need to accomplish God's purpose. 6, I'm sorry, my bad. 6 draws both the unsaved and believers to God. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up. The last day we talked about, this is what we talked about early. He draws us to him. That's relational. It doesn't say he drags. It doesn't say nothing about dragging. It says he draws. Remember, he is a gentleman. And here's the thing. Look at what we just talked about, number 5. He gives us the power. Number 6, he draws unsaved and saved. But guess what? We're going to jump down to here, number 7. Look at number 7, because 5, 6, and 7, they complement each other. Number 7 says, equips us with strength we need to accomplish God's purpose. And it says, Romans 8:26 says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be explained in words. That says, for example. That's just one of the examples that he does. But here, look here. Number 5, he gives us the power to be witnesses. He draws the unsaved and believers to God, and he equips the believers with the strength we need to accomplish God's purpose. God's purpose for our life is to teach and preach and reach the unsaved. That's what we're called to do. We're called to tell people about Jesus. In whatever way God calls you to do it. In whatever setting God calls you to do it. And the Holy Spirit draws the unsaved to you. So if you encounter someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ, it's because the Holy Spirit has put that person in your life for one reason. So you can tell them about Jesus. What if somebody wouldn't have told you about Jesus? Somebody took the time to tell me about him. Sure did. The unsaved aren't just going to be drawn to you because you're awesome, just because we smell good or look good. The reason why they're drawn to is because of the presence. They can see the Holy Spirit on you. They don't know what it is. But you know what it is? They want it. A lot of them want it. They want to know what's different about you. They want to know why you can go through that circumstance like that and still keep your head up. Guess what? Because of Jesus Christ. There's your testimony right there. There's your testimony. Number 8, convicts people of sin, pre and post salvation. You know the little thing in our gut that we call our conscience? Ain't you conscious? That's the Holy Spirit. When you over here fixing to do something you know you're not supposed to do and you get that old nasty feeling in your gut, that's the Holy Spirit saying, come on, dummy, get back over there where you belong. That's how he talks to me. He has to talk to me like that because if he don't, I won't listen. Come on, son, get back over here in the line. You know you're not supposed to be over there. You know you're not supposed to be in that relationship. You know he's poisonous. You know she's poisonous. You know I'm not calling you to take that job and take you away from your family. Come on now. Thank you. He convicts people of our sin. Anything that separates us from the presence of God is sin. He convicts us of it. If he didn't convict me as a young man before I received salvation, I don't know if I'd receive salvation, but there was something inside of me that says, I can't live like this. There has to be more. There has to be more than this. Because the things that I try to find joy in and I try to find peace and happiness and strength in just leave me empty. They're destroying my life. There's got to be something more. And I was on my knees, on my face, a drug addict and alcoholic. And I was like, God, there has to be something more for my life. What am I doing? And the only thing I could do was look up. I couldn't go no further down. I couldn't. Had a DEA agent sitting outside of my apartment, had my house bugged. I was on my way to jail. I couldn't do nothing else. I was empty inside. I was desperate for the presence of God and didn't even know it. And he convicted me and said, yeah, son, you know you're right. You remember that time that brother told you and invited you to church? Remember that time your dad said this? Or your brother told you this, or that crazy preacher told you this, or that loudmouth Lindsay boy said this in Grow One that night. Convicted me. Changed my life. Number 9, gives us the power over sin and sets us free from the sins we cannot get rid of on our own. There's some of y'all in here tonight that have some sin in your life that you do not have the power to get rid of on your own. There ain't but one thing that can deliver you from it. One thing. You do not have the strength on your own. Y'all know my health journey. I could not deliver myself from the addiction of food. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I did not have the ability to do it. I was terrible. I was addicted to the easiest thing to be addicted to, but the worst thing, it's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you get any time and nobody said anything about it. And it was killing me. I couldn't break that addiction. It truly took the power of the Holy Spirit for me to break that addiction. And then number 10, it says he molds us into the image of Christ. Hey, this is the fruit of the Spirit. He molds us into the image of Christ. He molds us into the image of Christ. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. You cannot be too generous. You cannot love too much. You can't. You will not get in trouble for it, I promise. You will not get in trouble for being too kind or being too good or having too much joy in your life or not so much having peace. You can have all the peace. But what he's talking about is displaying peace to your enemy. That one that's driving you crazy. I encountered one this morning. I had to ask a guy to get out of my office this morning before I said something. Now, I know I got to go back tomorrow and ask him to forgive me because I got to show him what peace is. If I don't, nobody will. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to be transparent. I don't want to because he was wrong. That don't matter. You know why? Because I'm the one who's called to be like Jesus. Come on. How many wrong people hung Jesus on the cross? All of us. And I got to go back tomorrow and ask him to forgive me and show him peace and show him kindness and have a gentle spirit with him And you know, the only way I'm going to be able to do it tomorrow is through the Holy Spirit, because Justin don't have anything to do it on his own, I promise. I know me. All right. Okay, we got to go. Look over here at this week's challenge, guys. Look at this week's challenge. This is what we want to do. Number one, we want to invite the Holy Spirit to work in and through your life this week. Every one of us need him in some areas. Hey, I'm going to need him in the morning, no joke. And on my way to work in the morning, I'll spend some time in some serious prayer. Not so I'm capable, but so I make an impact in his life. It's because when I leave there, you know what I want? I want him to see Jesus on me. That's all I can do. How he takes it, that's on him. So I'm going to have to really invite the Holy Spirit to go in my office with me in the morning. Number two, allow him to do what he wants and needs to do. Allow him to do what he wants and needs to do. What does he need to do in your life? Does your wants line up with the wants of God's will? And number three, this is going to be a tough one. This is going to be a tough one here. Cooperate with him. And listen, and obey. Cooperate and obey him as he leads you to follow him. I want to say this. There's a whole lot of times that the Holy Spirit asks us to do something that we do not want to do, because it goes against our humanistic nature. But that's the reason why it's so important for us, for him, to make us into the image of Christ, because the things that we're called to do aren't human nature. The things we're called to do, if we don't have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, we'll fail miserably. It was designed like that. We were designed with an innate need and desire for the presence of God. My kids as infants were designed for a need and a desire for the parents, because they couldn't do it on their own. I'm 40 years old, still need my daddy. 39, hang on, don't make me 40 yet. June. Whew, thank you, Lord, slow down time. I have an innate desire and a need for God, and in that innate desire and need comes a responsibility of being obedient. And obedience is tough sometimes. Obedience is tough a lot of times. Because what I want to do is, tomorrow, is I want to prove my point. But where's that going to get us? Nowhere. It's going to get us further back. All right, but if I show generosity and kindness to this individual and I let God work through him, I don't know what's going on in his home life. I don't know what's happening behind his doors. I don't know what his boss is doing to him. All right, I don't know how his boss treats him or how his family life is. I may be the very catalyst that when he goes home says, you know what? There's got to be a different way for me to do things. Or I can send him away bitter and angry and have let the enemy have that, and I refuse to do that. I refuse to do that. And that's called obedience. And it comes through this one thing, and I'll wrap up. Surrender. That's all God wants us to do. He just wants us to, he wants us to live like this. He wants us to surrender our will, allow the Holy Spirit to do what he was designed to do, and comfort us, teach us, guide us, empower us, strengthen us. And when we allow to do that, we operate in a realm of power that we don't understand on our own. And it's operating in the spirit realm, and that's battling things in your mind, and we're not going to go into all of that. And it's letting God fight your battles for you. Not only letting God fight your battles for you, but he fights your battles for us. He aligns the victories for us. He brings us peace. He gives us our hope. He gives us our strength. Me and my wife are the coach of the Encounter team, and we have this thread on the GroupMe app, and there's probably, Liz, 9 or 10 different people that desperately need God's hand on them right now. I don't know how to pray for all of them, but the Holy Spirit does. I don't have all the answers for them. I can't give them hope. Holy Spirit does every day. And that's available for each and every one of you in here tonight. So whatever it is you're dealing with, I know that there's some people I can sit in your faces that you're dealing with some things and y'all truly, truly need. You don't need the presence of the Holy Spirit because he's there. You need to surrender to the presence that's residing in you and turn your life over and say, all right, God, let's try it your way. And it'll change your life. Paul.
Yeah.